Friends, this evening I would like to bring a short word of testimony. For those of you that don't know me other than what our brother has announced, I'm Raymond Morrow. I live in Five Mile Town and I go to our Auchnacloy Church. But I thank and praise the Lord that from a very early age, from as young as I can remember, I was brought up to know the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God. I sat under faithful preaching of the Word of God right from a very child. My parents were Christians. They belonged to Enniskillen congregation. That would be my home church. And I had the joy of being brought up in a Christian family, a Christian home, and sent along when I was old enough to Sunday school, to children's meetings, and everything else that was going on. And I count it a great privilege. Although, like many young people, as I'll make mention shortly, at times we can despise that privilege as we seek to grow and go our own way. But I thank the Lord that He did bring me into a Christian home, and I was faithfully taught the things of God. And what a joy it is to be able to look back and see the Lord's hand upon my life, even as a young child. I was born in 1974, so you can work out for yourself what age I am. I'm one of the later students into the college. But I was born in 1974, just outside Enniskillen. But in 1980, we moved as a family across to Scotland. And I spent from 1980 through to 1993 in Scotland. And that was, we'll say, an interesting period in my life. When we moved to Scotland, fellowship with other believers wasn't just the same as it was at home. And so my mother and father tried different churches before we eventually settled in a church in Glasgow and sat under the preaching for many years of the Reverend David Castles, or Pastor David Castles, who some of you will be familiar with. And again, we heard the Word of God faithfully proclaimed week by week. But as I went through school, I found it very difficult. I was Paddy. Paddy was stupid, and well, maybe there was some truth in that. But I was very much an outsider. We lived in a large estate on the edge of Glasgow, and I went to a high school where I was one of 1,400 pupils. And sad to say, one of four Christians out of 1,400 pupils in that school. I had a few good friends, but none of them were saved. And I was seen as different, not only because I was Paddy, but because I was this cub that went to church on a Sunday, didn't go out and play football on a Sunday, didn't run about with other boys on a Sunday, didn't go to the discos on Friday night in school and the other things. And I have to say that during my school days, there were very many difficult times. But we were sent along, or we were sent home. All the school holidays, we were shipped back to the grandparents in Fermanagh, and there was many happy summers and Easters and Christmases and any other holidays that were going spent in Fermanagh. But it wasn't until I was at the age of 17, and I remember coming home one summer for my holidays, and I was running about with my cousins, and some of whom professed to be saved, some of whom weren't saved. And I found myself involved with them in things that I shouldn't have been involved in. And I grew cold. I grew away from fell away from the Lord. And I suppose that had been going on for some time in my life, only I hadn't realized it. I had stopped reading as I ought. I'd stopped praying as I ought. I went back home and I was far from the Lord, far from where I ought to be. And I remember, I think it was 1992, my mother said to me, she says, you know, there's a youth weekend in Castlewellan, maybe you should go. Well, at that stage in my life, going to a youth weekend was the last thing on my mind. Oh, I wasn't involved in the things of the world as such, but I was far from the Lord. And I made every excuse in the book not to go to Castlewellan. Oh, I'd know nobody. Oh, well, there'd be ones there from Enniskillen that you'll know. Oh, well, I'll be a stranger. I'll be left out. It's all right. Listen, Gillian Gillespie's going. She's one of the leaders this year. And Gillian will look after you. Gillian was good friends with my aunt Olive Maxwell, who many of you know. And Olive had put in a wee word with Gillian to watch out for Raymond. And every excuse I made was just taken away. And so I headed off to Castle Wellan. You know, that weekend, things were to change for me. I arrived on the Friday evening and went in, and the young people were singing the praises of the Lord. We had a meeting that night, and after the meeting was over, different young people got up just as they felt led to testify. And I was sitting there, and really, well, what could I testify of? Oh, the Lord had saved me, yes. He had saved me as a child. But what was I doing for him, and how was I living for him? And the Lord started to strive with me. And I thank and praise the Lord on the Sunday afternoon that I bowed the knee and I came back to my Saviour. And the Lord continued to work and challenge me in my life, what I was doing for him. And a desire grew to get back out of Scotland, get back to Northern Ireland. And so we came home for Christmas holidays that year. And there was a couple from Market Hill came to visit. And we were talking about how much I'd like to get home. And the gentleman says, oh, he says, I'll get you a job, he says, in an engineering company beside me. And so the thing was arranged. And February 1993, I moved from Scotland into Diggs in Market Hill and started to work in Red Rock Engineering. You know, it was great. But yet I looked around me and I couldn't understand. There were so many young people in Northern Ireland, even in our own churches, seemed to have no desire to go to the youth fellowship, no desire to go to the youth rallies on a Saturday night in Guildford and on a Sunday night in the different churches. I had come from a church where our youth fellowship was made up of about a dozen and a half young people spread over about a 50-mile radius. And we met once a month. We seen each other the Lord's Day, but during the week we didn't. And here in Northern Ireland, there was such an opportunity for young people in the Lord's work, in children's meetings, different things. And I struggled to come to terms with that. I just couldn't understand why the young people didn't want to be involved. I got involved in Armagh and the children's work and different aspects of the work there, and I really enjoyed it. But I felt that there was more I should be doing for the Lord. I remember going along to the Easter convention that year. And that evening, I think it was the Friday evening, and I believe it was Dr. Brian Green, but I haven't been able to have that confirmed, but he spoke on the Lord speaking to Peter over there in John chapter 21, where he asks Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And we know how it goes on. He tells Peter to feed his lambs and then to feed his sheep. And the Lord challenged me that evening as to what I was doing for him, how I was living for him, how I was serving him. And I remember there was an appeal made at the end of the meeting, and I went down and we were brought into the minister's room behind the pulpit, the martyrs. And there was a large number of young people there. There was a large number of men counselling. And I remember being told, well, we'll get some information sent out to you about the Whitfield. But that information never arrived. The Lord's timing's perfect. I remember going home and in the weeks that lay ahead, knowing that I ought to be doing more for the Lord. Was I serving him as I ought? I remember one particular evening at the side of my bed, I was getting ready to read the scriptures. And I remember praying that evening, Lord, if you have something more for me to do, then I want you to show me tonight. And you know, folks, I think we can all relate to this. Sometimes we pray and we ask the Lord for things, but we pray half-heartedly. We're nearly afraid at times what the answer will be. Or else we pray not believing that the Lord can answer. That night I prayed, Lord, if you have something for me, show me this evening, I need to know. And I remember thinking in the back of my head, well, I'm reading in the Psalms, I'm safe enough. The Lord's not going to call me to the mission field through the Psalms. He's not going to call me into full-time service through the Psalms. Little was I to know that the Lord was going to speak to me that evening. I was reading Psalm 78, and right from the very outset, the Lord was speaking. We read there in verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and the strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known them to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. The Lord spoke very clearly that evening. And I prayed that, Lord, if this is what you have me to do, if you have something greater for me, then I am yielded to your service. I continued on in what I was doing and helping with the children's work and whatnot. Within 12 months, I had moved back to Fermanagh and I was working in Fermanagh. I got involved in the youth fellowship in Enniskillen, and I had been taking the odd meeting here and there over the country. I was involved also at the time with the youth fellowship in Dunmurry. And, you know, I was going on well with the Lord from all accounts. I was enjoying serving him in every opportunity that he gave me in outreach and whatnot. But, you know, things were to change for me. In 1998, I started my own business with my brother. They'd moved home. The rest of the family had moved home from Scotland, and we started our own business. And things began to get busy, but there was bills needing paid. And the bills, the invoices that we sent out, the checks were slow to come in. And so I found myself working all the hours under the sun just to try and stay on top of things. You know, friends, so often when we get into difficult situations, we try to find our own way out, don't we? We look at everything else first before we seek the Lord. I started to neglect the prayer meeting because I hadn't time. I was working too hard. I started to neglect the youth fellowship. I hadn't time. I found myself doing many, many hours. I was that tired when I went home at night that I wasn't able to read or pray. Sad to say, I fell away far from the Lord. I started to seek relief, as I thought it was, elsewhere. But I thank and praise the Lord that no matter what way I turned, if I went somewhere that I should have not been, the Holy Spirit strove with me. You know, I believe that there's young people out in our land tonight, and they're involved in the things of the world, and they claim to be saved, but the Holy Spirit's not striving with them because they were never saved. Young person, if there's somebody listening tonight and you're involved in the things of the world, I want you to ask yourself, if the Holy Spirit is not striving with you, are you saved at all? I thank and praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit strove with me. And before long, I repented of what I had done, and I came back to the Lord. It was a bitter learning curve for me. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose in all things. I met my wife, Roberta, shortly after. I met her down the road here in Newton Ards. And within 12 months, I took her to Fermanagh, to God's own country. We're married. We have 3 children. And we continued to be involved in children's work and youth fellowship over the next number of years. But time and again, the call of the Lord kept coming back. Raymond, what are you doing? Could you be doing more? But I remember, particularly a number of years ago, in fact, back in 2016. And the Lord started to strive with me. The Lord started to ask me what I was doing for him. 2015. And I knew I ought to be doing more. And the call of the Lord seemed to come time and time again. And every way I turned, that call came afresh. Different meetings, different events, whether it be the Easter Convention or just regular church services, the Lord was speaking. And I was struggling. But I remember going one evening in particular to a church service. And the congregation was very small that evening. The speaker it was a man that wouldn't have spoke that often, but he took us to Matthew 28. And I thought he was going to speak on the Great Commission. And he was to an extent, but he read the verses there at the end of Matthew 28. Verse 16, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain place where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And that man that evening homed in on that verse. Some doubted. And I had doubts and fears, and I was making up every excuse in the book. No, Lord, we have a young family. We're both self-employed. We couldn't manage if I were to go to college. I had many doubts and fears. But what does verse 18 say? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The Lord is in control of everything. All power belongs to him. And no matter what situation we're in, no matter what our doubts may be, praise the Lord, he's in control. He's in control. I spoke to the Reverend Abraham and told him how I felt, told him that I believed the Lord was leading me towards college. We filled out the forms, we went through the interviews. The Lord brought us into the Whitfield. And I thank the Lord for 4 years to sit under sound teaching in our college. I have to say, for me, not 4 easy years. I was 41 when I started the college. Very difficult, especially when you've been out of education for so long, and to sit under Mr. Greer's exams isn't simple, but the Lord brought us through and he has brought us out. And we believe the Lord will continue and lead us and guide us to the place of his service. Yes, there have been ups and there have been downs. There have been difficulties along the way. There's days when I felt like giving up. But just when I needed, the Lord drew alongside. And perhaps through a verse, perhaps through someone just giving a word of encouragement, the Lord strengthened, the Lord helped. He has brought us through. I've took longer than I had expected, but I hope that's an encouragement to you and a blessing to your soul.